Episode 719, My Strength is My Story with Krista Cocott, Soul on Fire.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Happy, happy day, ladies. I am so excited that you are here. Today is My Strength is My Story Day, and we are blessed with our guest, Krista Cocott. She is an extraordinary woman. You are going to be so delighted. But before we jump into all of that, I want to give a huge shout out and welcome to all of our brand new family members. I'm so glad you're here. Maybe your friends and families of Krista's. Welcome to Create Your Now. If you haven't already had the opportunity, you can head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Finding the Simple in Every Day. Well, I got to tell you that Krista is a soul on fire. She is a woman who, well, has lived a life that's film-worthy, and you're going to get a glimpse of that in our conversation. You're also going to be amazed at her grace, her forgiveness, her hope, and love that shines through within her story. And know that you may have some parts of you that identify with her. Hold on to those and recognize those parts because you see, my strength is my story. Your story is your strength. It's your greatest asset. Stop trying to bury it and hide it, but embrace it and be willing to share it. Without further ado, let's jump into My Strength is My Story with Krista Cocott, Soul on Fire. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I'm so excited you're here for My Strength is My Story series. Today we have on an extraordinary guest. Her name is Krista Cocott and she is a beautiful woman. I actually met her online. We've never met in person, but with the airways now today and technology, we can see each other face to face and we can just get on the phone. We can text each other. So I am so appreciative of that. Krista is a beautiful woman, truly is, from the inside out and the outside in. She is a woman now of 43 years old. Happy birthday, girl. And she's been married to a man chosen by God for now almost 23 years, specially designed and picked for her. And she has two other amazing men in her life, and those are their boys together, ages 19 and 16. She's an online entrepreneur, a life transformation coach who truly loves to help others figure out their best life by giving them permission to quit. Krista, I can't hold it out any longer. Come on in, girl.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting me to be on here. I was actually very honored that you had asked me to come on. So I'm here. I'm excited.
Oh, you are here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are right now in life.
So I, again, like you said, I turned 43 on Christmas Day and, that's a whole nother story growing up with a birthday on Christmas Day, but, I am in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So this is where I am. And like you said, we did meet online as a fellow entrepreneur and it is such a beautiful thing. This last year has been, a life transformation for myself in the fact of immersing myself into the online space and wanting to reach more people than what I was just doing in my local community here. Mm-hmm. And so it's been an eye opening and that's what made me want to go online and get into the social media aspect of entrepreneur world online is, I sold my brick and mortar business, fitness boot camp here in the last, I guess it was almost a year ago now. And that's what made me jump into the online space and kind of go more the mindset aspect than just fitness. So right now that is what I'm doing. I'm doing one-on-one coaching with women. I've had a couple men that have asked for me to coach with them and so, but my ideal client is a woman like me, like you, people that just want different in their life, but can't seem to break the habits that they've created and the stories they've told their whole life. And sometimes we use our past as a crutch. And so that is where I like to break that mold and just go, you know, we got permission to quit doing that and move forward. So That's where I am right now, and I'm loving it. It's an adventure, and it's a journey, and as you know, every day is an experiment.
Amen. Definitely an experiment. That's a great way of looking at it, and it's an adventure, and I love that about you, because you are very much out there on social media, and you don't leave anything hidden. You like to just tell it as it is, but you see life as an adventure.
I do, and that comes back to my upbringing, and it came back to how I started out very, very young as life was an adventure. So I don't know anything else. I don't know how to play it safe. I don't know how to second guess and go, ooh, is that right? I don't know. I just do it, and it might not be. And that's okay, because that's how you learn. And that's how I teach people. And it's very hard. And I realize that's not the norm. And I realize that's also what sets me apart, because that's not the norm. A lot of people second guess things. But when you were raised as a child from 7 years old on, as that's the only option, everything is an adventure and everything is change and everything, you learn from everything. So that ends up being who you are as a person.
Yes. Yes. And take us back there, because your life was truly, adventure, I don't even think is a good word to use. Let's say movie, let's put it out there on the film screen. Tell us a little bit about your background and your growing up.
When I was 6, my parents got separated, and I grew up in Ontario, Canada, so on the East Coast. And me and my sister, and she was 1 year younger. And so when they were about 6 years old, I didn't really know what was going on. I just knew there was some, as a young girl, you don't really know. You just know there's some discontentment happening within the home, and you can't put your finger on it. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 7, they were separated. My dad actually, my mom had a babysitter, and they were separated at the time. They weren't living together. And my dad came into where we were being babysat by our babysitter at the time. Me and my sister were swimming in the condo complex, and he came in and he just said, girls, we're going to go get some ice cream. And the babysitter was like, okay. Like, I realized this stuff wouldn't happen this day, but back then, the babysitter was like, okay, you're their dad. You can go into head. And he had said, he goes, their mom said we could take them. So he took us, and we never saw my mom again for 23 years. So that was a real pivotal moment in my life, not knowing, and as a young girl, as 7 years old, I remember him running with us to his car, and we got into the car, and it was an exciting thing. He's like, we're going to go get ice cream. And little did we know, we were crossing the border into the States and never to be seen again, and we went on the run for about 2 years, and we camped in campgrounds. We went to Disneyland, and we ran from the FBI, and we traded cars, and we did just all this adventurous stuff that I didn't know wasn't normal, So it was a normal for me. And at that time, and obviously as I say it, I'm like, this is so not normal. And I understand that now. And it's just, as I talk about it more and more, I realize more and more how normal it's not, but I wouldn't be who I am without that, without what happened to me. So, that is when I really learned about change and how to stay strong. And I can remember in the tent crying at night and just asking where mom was, dad, where's mom? And he just said, we're not together. He would say, she's not coming back. Or he would say little things like that. And I just remember having to be strong for my little sister and having to be strong for him, because I could tell he was sad, So even though he took us from her, I still loved him with all my heart. There was still a part of me was like, that's my dad. I was a 7 year old little girl. So that is where the change, the excitement, the adaptation, choosing to be happy in those moments, because he made it a fun thing, So regardless, right or wrong, that's not what I ever focused on. And I, through the years, never really looked at it as, I never allowed myself to become a victim of those circumstances. Yes. So that is where it all started, and then it kind of got better and better.
Better and better as in film worthy, better and better, or better and better for you?
Well, I would have to say both, only because every time I tell the story, everyone's like, their jaws drop and they're like, okay, so I want to play this part in the movie. I'm like, yes, I get it.
Well, and it is. But, you know, interesting, Krista, that you say it was my normal. And I think with our stories, we don't realize, we get older, and then that's when we think we're all messed up. And that's when we are like, we are ashamed of our past. Mm-hmm. But really, when we're in it, and we're going through it as a child or even as a teenager, wherever we are in the past that we're looking back to, that's our normal. We don't know any better.
Mm-mm. And we don't know any different.
Yes.
You know, and that's, and the more people that I talk to, I'll hear their stories, and they're, you know, and some, I will say, wow, how did you survive that? And they're like, how did I survive that? How did you survive that? How are you not a, you know, person on the street that's blaming all your past on, you know, or blaming your life on your past? And I just thought, because I never did that, and neither did my dad. And so I was modeled that growing up. And as, you know, obviously as different as he was and had his own, you know, kind of demons that he bared, it was always make the best out of every situation. So he got remarried again when I was 11, and we settled down in Colorado actually for about, till grade 7.
Oh, wow.
And he remarried a beautiful woman from Tennessee. She had her own two girls, and they were 2 years apart. And so they were 2 years older than what we were, me and my little sister. And so it was a blended family. Mm-hmm. So they got married quickly, and I remember really craving a mother. I remember just really needing that mom. You know, I was missing that. And couldn't put my finger on it, cause I was 11 and I just knew I needed, you know, a mom. And so we stayed down there until grade 7. So I was 11. I guess we were down there for a year and a half or two. And then, we decided to move up to Canada, back up to Canada, to the east, to the West Coast. Sold everything down there. And he got us all in this big old Jeep jalopy and drove all the way up for 1 month. We camped on the side of the roads and at KOA campgrounds. And we moved up to, the West Coast of Canada, ended up near Calgary here, and our car broke down, and he just said, okay, this is where God wants us to be. And he started up his own business. And I was then going into grade 7, and that life took a little bit of a turn there in grade 7 for me. That was a real tumultuous time. Well, it was grade 7's hard anyways for a lot of people. And when you've been through the changes that I went through, and I was very much a people pleaser, and I like to call myself a recovering people pleaser now, because I don't do that so much anymore. But at the time in grade 7, I wanted everyone to like me. And I made up these stories about where my mom was. And I, you know, it was just one thing after the other, and was craving attention in different ways. And so I acted out really, and we had a very, very, Christian upbringing, with my dad, but he was very controlling about it. It was fear-based. It was, if you didn't do this, you're going to go to hell. If you swear, you're going to go to hell. So it was very fear-based, and that was coming from his own fear, you know? So he only did what he, you know, what he was learned, what he was taught, and what, how he felt. And, and it came out to us. And some of the girls, like my two stepsisters, they were like having none of it. And I didn't agree with it at all. So I did a lot of pushback, and I rebelled, and I did everything you weren't supposed to do as a teenager, you know, or that you are supposed to do as a teenager, whatever, however way you want to look at it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we had these walls built around us, and he had this nice fence, and, you know, no out drinking and no going out after 8 o'clock and no boyfriends and no swearing and no doing this. And I did everything that I wasn't supposed to do. You know, I went to parties and I snuck out at night, and I had my sister cover, and it was all my way of acting out and trying to figure out where I fit in this world, you know, and where I fit in the family.
Yeah.
And where, you know, I was craving attention. He was a workaholic. He was an entrepreneur. And he was never home. So he worked out. He owned his own business, fixing cash registers and copiers at the time, and typewriters. And then it moved into front-end hotel systems. And so it got busier and bigger and bigger. And I just remember him being gone a lot, you know. And when he was around, it was quality time. Or, sorry, it was quantity. But it wasn't, you know, it was quality, but not a lot of time. He would be in there for Friday night. And he would take maybe me out or my sister out. And so it was very, he would try and make that be the time that counted. And I remember just loving him. I loved it. Because it was just him, and he was all I knew for the longest time. My stepmom did a great job. She fed and clothed us, and she knew how she she did what she knew how to do, you know, being thrown into this situation.
Yes.
And so after that, that went all along until about grade 10. And then I ended up in the hospital at 16 with alcohol poisoning. And I had, I had drank too much one night at a party, had snuck out. And that was a real moment, another pivotal moment for me. I remember laying in the hospital bed, waking up and just knowing that my life had changed and I had almost died. Mm. And, you know, the nurses and everyone was just saying, you shouldn't be here. Like, you should not be here. You had choked on your throw up at the party and your friends just left you there in the corner and you should not be here. And I remember just kind of going, then God has big plans for me because I am here. And, you know, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And I remember being in big trouble because that gig was up. I was a party animal.
Oh, you were caught.
Yeah, I was in the hospital and it was my dad took me out of the school there in the small town that we grew up in and shipped me down to a Christian school in the city. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a Christian school for the last year and a half of high school. And again, still remembering just that controlling, right? And just always being like, you're getting out of there. We're pushing you into the Christian school. My little sister got, you know, pushed with me. And so everything that I kind of did, she was, you know, she's like, every time you get in trouble, I get in trouble too. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. Like every time it was like, I had to paint the fence cause I, you know, swore. So she had to paint the fence with me. And, you know, it was just, so that I graduated when I was 17, the June of 1991. And I turned 18 that Christmas. And then when I turned 17, I booked a flight to Australia and I went to Bible school there. I left within a month and a half graduating. I needed out.
Yeah.
For me, I needed out and I wanted to spread my wings and I wanted to be independent and I just felt trapped. Mm-hmm. And again, through this whole process of growing up, still was wondering where my mom was because we weren't really allowed to talk about her.
Yeah.
Wondering a piece of me was missing. And my sister and I would always talk, wonder where she is. I wonder how she's doing, you know, wonder what she's up to. And so went to, got out of there and went to Australia for a year and went to a Bible school and it was beautiful. It was called Cape and Ray. And I had ulterior motives for going. It was just to get out of school and to get out of town and get out of the house. And the only way I was going to be allowed out is if I was saying I was going to Bible school. So couldn't be.
Dad was okay with that.
Dad was okay with Bible school. I'm like, I'm going to Bible school. And little did I know, like, I seriously went with the intention of never going a day in my life.
Wow.
Like, I went with the intention of going, I'm not walking into that school. I'm going to get the heck out of here and go to Australia and travel. Hmm. So I went over there and got picked up by the school over there. A big sign, you know, Krista and Sarah, because I went with my girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, dang, now I have to go, you know, because they're right at the airport waiting for us.
Yes.
So we get into the little bus that takes us down to and Sydney, landed in Sydney and went to the school. And I fell in love the moment I got there with everyone that was there. And so ended up going for 6 months to the school, to Cape and Ray, kind of renewed my relationship with God, found my own way and my own path with him and my own relationship with him and not my dad's relationship, you know? And so that one, I look back on that fondly because it was very much a Bible school. We went through the Bible, you know, each book. And I remember Peter being a big one and the book of Peter. And then I remember James we went through and that to this day is still my go-to book, you know, is the book of James. So,
do you have a favorite verse?
You know, I don't, I have so many in there that I just fall back on so many times that I just kind of, I even, you know, just the other day, I just open it up and I just start reading and I don't really look at the verses or anything. The words are what's popping out. And I'm like, what verse was that? Was that 3:5? Like, I don't, you know, I just don't even.
Yeah. What is it when you read it, what is it that jumps out to you? What are some of those words?
To me, it's real life. To me, it's real life. It's really relatable. You know how some people have Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, which is also another book of mine, you know, wisdom being the woman and, you know, just how we have so many tools in our tool belt that God created us with. We have wisdom and understanding and patience and using those in our everyday life. And the book of Proverbs is another one that's a beautiful book for me too. But I think I gravitate towards the books of the Bible that are relatable. mm-hmm. and that are real life and that mm-hmm. I can read it and go, oh yeah, I so see that, that if you hold your tongue, you won't hurt so many people. Right. You know,
yes.
that's where I find it very relatable, mm-hmm. you know, because I am all about motivation and inspiring people. And some people don't understand the Bible.
Right.
So I like the relatability of it. I like the relatability books. Mm-hmm. So that lasted for 6 months. And then I traveled for three mm-hmm. With a couple people that I had met over there and then came back. And now I'm 18. And I started working in a small town. When we got back, I lived back at home, which was very, very hard for me to do because I still, you know, what time are you home and don't do this and don't do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just had a year of being on my own. So I worked as a waitress mm-hmm. for about a year. And while I was doing that for a year is when I met my current husband now. So I met him at 19 and he was a football player and he was a Christian. He was the first Christian boyfriend that I ever was able to bring home because everyone else I just did, you know, everyone else I dated was secret and did it behind my parents' back and mm-hmm. my dad's back. And because they were never going to be approved of if I brought them home anyways. So why bring them home?
Yes. Why go through that torment?
No. So I was able to bring him home and mm-hmm. I just remember going, I was never getting married. That was one thing. I was never getting married. I was never having kids because that was just ridiculous because mm-hmm. who does that to their body? And I was never getting married because I didn't want to be tied down to one person and I wanted my freedom and I wanted my independence. And I kid you not, Christiane, the second I met him, I was like, I think I might marry this guy because I just felt a secure, safe and feeling with being with him. And mm-hmm. yet in the next breath, I also, and God knew this. I know he knew this and I might start crying, but it was like, I also knew that he would allow me to have my independence.
Mm, what a blessing.
I didn't see this coming.
Mm-hmm. It's all right, Krista. God designs our lives and sometimes we don't understand how he orchestrates it, but he does every single step and every pebble that we take. He's right there with us. And this is what he's shown you.
Yep. And it's, you know, and I used to kind of say, you're so much like my dad. You're so much like my dad. And yet he is so not. He was athletic, mm-hmm. outgoing, people person. So in those aspects, he was like my dad. You know, he was very much, but very different in the ways that I needed him to be different. You know, that God knew that, like, you can be a little bit like her dad, but you need to also be like this, you know? And so mm-hmm. this is why you're coming in. And because I do think after 23 years, you know, and all the stuff we've gone through in 23 years, we're still together. And I am not the easiest person to live with because I am an entrepreneur and I am a squirrel and I love change and I love trying different things. And, you know, and he is nothing like that. He loves stability.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves the same thing. Like he's had jobs as he's a youth pastor for 14 years. Yeah. That's unheard of.
Yes.
That is unheard of, being a youth pastor for 14 years. Like the burnout rate, I think, is a year and a half, mm-hmm. you know? So it's very, very like I believe it to everything that's in me. God knew what he was doing, giving me this rock that would support me and guide me and hold me and be there for me at 19. You know, at 19 years old and then married at 20 going, this is who you're going to be with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So, and has it been easy? Heck no. Cause what do you know?
Oh,
at 20
come on.
Years old?
That's right. Exactly. It's gotta be perfect though.
What do you know at 20, right? Like you don't know a lot at 20 years old. And so you can see, you know, I look at marriages and I'm like, I see why they crumble. I see why, you know, I can understand it so much because you change so much over the years, you know, in almost 43 years. And I'm like, I'm a completely different person in so many ways mm-hmm. at 43 than I was at 20, you know, just mature and allowing things to roll off your back, but, you know, still the same quirky, funny person that I've always been.
Well, and your perspective is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the experiences built up, different ways at looking at things. And I mean, God brought you your mountain is what he mm-hmm. brought you. Not just a rock. He brought you your mountain.
Yeah.
And he gave
it to
you.
It's so true. Mm. Yeah. And then through the years of being married, mm-hmm. I know that I was looking for that. And I know so many deal with this too and battle with this. And this is a lot of people's pebble that they get stuck on that they make it about is finding that happiness and finding what truly makes people happy on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that is where ultimately led me to where I am today, because I tried so many different things that I thought would make me happy. Mm-hmm. Going from getting the big corporate job to, you know, doing hairdressing for years and trying this and trying that and buying different things and owning a big house and owning the car and realizing that none of that made me happy. Yeah. And so that's where my permission to quit came from, was just that permission, you know, give yourself permission to quit stuff that no longer serves your soul and no longer gets you fueled up, even though society says hustle, hustle, hustle and keep going and get that big corporate job that's going to pay you all this money. And mm-hmm. I tried it. I'm like, been there. I tried it. It doesn't work. I lasted 2 months. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to quit. I'm not afraid to quit, because there is a difference between quitting and giving up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a big difference with that. And so for me, I'm not afraid to quit something that I know is not helping me mm-hmm. reach my end game, or I'm going against my integrity. I'm going against who I know who I am. And sometimes it takes a while. I'm not saying I quit it like that. There are things I do quit right away that I'm like, that ain't right.
Yeah.
This is leading me down a wrong path. And sometimes it takes me 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, that was a long road, that one. I should have quit that one a long time ago. But again, you always look for that learning moment.
Yes.
When you're going through those. And sometimes you know you shouldn't be doing something, but dang, is it hard to stop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to stop doing it.
Yeah. We get almost, you know, we talk about addicts, you know, we think more like alcoholics or drug addicts, but we can be addicted to shopping, addicted to promotions within our job, addicted to the brand new cars that we get every year because we can afford to do that, or the new house every 3 years, whatever it is. Our addictions are out there. And for you to say giving permission to quit, I know that has stumped people right now. They're like, whoa, mm-hmm. that means you're a quitter. Mm-hmm. Stop for a minute here and define giving up versus quitting.
Yeah. And what I always say to that is, when you've done them both, mm-hmm. you'll know the difference. When you've done them both, you'll know the difference. Quitting, you almost have this sigh of relief that comes because it's something you should no longer be doing. Giving up is when you think, oh, I wonder if I could have given a little bit more on that. Oh, I hope I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I don't know if I should have. You've got this second guessing that happens when you give up. Mm-hmm. We've all given up. I'm going to use fitness for an example.
Yep.
Because we've all been there, and I'm just going to call it all out because we've all been there. And sometimes, you know, it's like after a month, New Year's resolution comes along. It starts to get hard after a month.
Yes.
You know, February comes around, we're like, oh my gosh, this clean eating and this exercising is way harder than I thought. I'll just down it to like twice a week instead of four times. And then you end up not doing it at all. Well, you gave up because it got hard. Mm-hmm. And so that happens over and over with different things in life. And what I find is that when you find that one thing mm-hmm. that you love doing and you just know you want to keep doing it, and it's going to get hard. You're not going to quit because you want to learn more and you want to keep going. Do you know how many times I wanted to quit this last year? Oh, yeah. 365. Like, I wanted to quit a lot of
every day.
Yes. But I love it so much that if I ever did, for me, that would be giving up mm-hmm. because it's something I love and I know that it brings value to people's life and I know I can help other people. So when you know the difference between the two and you've done both, you'll know between, I talk about sometimes within relationships, if you mm-hmm. give and give and give and give, and this relationship is like a square peg down a round hole mm-hmm. and they're sucking the life out of you and negativity is coming from every angle. And it's like, you know what? I think that's a little break that you need to give in there. Mm-hmm. You know, just step back from that. See if this is the best relationship that you can do. If you've tried everything, you've gone to counseling, you know, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a relationship with a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, and it's mm-hmm. not working. And it's not helping you become the best person you can be. Personally, in my own opinion, I think it's okay to quit that mm-hmm. and focus on something else that's going to make you a better person. I'm not saying don't try and make it work. I think you should try, because if you don't try and you just walk away, that to me is giving up.
Mm, yes.
So as long as you have tried everything and you both have tried it, you know, and you can only do what you do. You can only do your part. You can't change somebody else. You can't mm-hmm. make them want something. You can't make them quit. You can't make them go harder. You can't make them do anything. You have to focus on yourself and what you know God wants you to be and God wants you to, you know, deliver to this world. That's mm-hmm. all you can take care of.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you can come to that understanding, it's a whole new world.
And cue music, a whole new world. No. Well, and you mentioned, you talk about change, and I think a lot of people struggle with trying to change others to mm-hmm. fit into their box instead of looking at it and changing what they can control in their own box.
I love that you pointed that out, Christiane, because that was a game changer for me about 2 years ago is when I really started. And that was when my recovering people pleasing started to come in, because I always did things to please other people. And I would make decisions based on what they were going to think of me. Mm-hmm. And I would say yes. I would say no. I would say yes to far too many things. And because I was hoping to change somebody else. And you know, also being in the fitness industry, I would motivate and I would try and I would phone people and I would text people and I'm like, come on, you can do this. And I got to the point where I was like, doesn't matter how hard I try until somebody is ready to change themselves, they're not going to.
That's right.
And so it wasn't until I had that mirror in front of myself that I realized now I'm ready to change. Did I get that about other people? So until you see that about yourself, you're like, huh, I wonder how many people tried to change me over the years and I wasn't ready. Yeah. I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. So until they're actually ready, all you can do is take care of yourself and change what you want to change about yourself. And here's the really awesome, cool thing is that what I have seen is when you start taking care of yourself, you become an inspiration for other people.
Amen.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
You start becoming an inspiration to other people because they're like, heck, if she can do it, maybe I can do it.
That's right.
If she's doing that. And that's what led me ultimately, we're going to come down this rabbit trail, but this is what ultimately led me to reaching out to you, because in the last year I've wanted to do podcasts and I'm like, okay. And then a girlfriend of mine who's like, you should reach out to Christiane. She doesn't. I'm like, done. So that's what ultimately I'm like, she can do it. I can do it. If they can do it, I can do that. If they can, and that's what led me to be a boot camp instructor, because I admired this one boot camp instructor and I went up to her and I said, how do you do what you do? Because if she can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
And so that holds people back a lot because they have all these ideas in their head or their soul, right? Something is in there, or they know what they're created to do, but it's super scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We all have a hope light. Sometimes though, we just don't want to let it shine. Yeah. You know, for others to see.
And it's scary sometimes. It is. I'm not going to say it's easy. Good grief.
No.
It's not. But it's for me, it's that epitome of, I don't want to look back a year from now and go, I wish I had done that. I'm that person. I just don't want to be in the same spot that I was a year ago. Not saying it was terrible, but I'm just ready to keep moving.
Right. Yeah. And God wants to grow and stretch you. You know, and if he's not challenging you, then you sometimes need to bear the question, am I doing what God has designed me to do?
Yep. Yep. You know? And I just was going to say too, that, you know, even with this whole, with my relationship with God, my dad passed away in a tragic car accident 11 years ago. And that was he was the one that had kind of created my relationship with God. As weird as that sounds, how he lived it, breathed it, you know, preached it to us, was like, okay, then that's what God is to me. I started to get, like I said, when I went to Bible school, renewed a new relationship with my, then, after he passed away, it shook it again, because I'm like, well, now the person that preached to me my whole life of who God is has died and God took him from me. And so that shook it again for me. And I went through a couple years there of really having some rocky, just really questioning. And I know that I will be relating to a lot of people out there, because this isn't new for a lot of people. When tragedy strikes, we go, where are you? And is there a God? Mm-hmm. And why would you let that happen? And you start questioning everything.
Yeah.
And one thing that I really embraced was taking the time to do that. And I didn't try and fight it. I didn't get mad at myself. I didn't get mad at my sister who was doing the same thing. I think there's healthy and unhealthy ways to grieve. I don't think there's a wrong or right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was, I questioned a lot of who God was and what role he played in my life and what role he played in the whole growing up. Never did I go, and this is something I'm very proud of, but I never again fell into that victim because of everything. This is where I am. I never did that. I more just questioned and I kept going, God is big enough to handle my questions. God is big enough to be able to go, I am so mad at you right now. Why would you do this to me? Why would this happen to me? And yet be able to keep moving on. So I took a year where I actually was in bed for a full year. And I had my two small boys. They were younger at the time. And those are the only things that got me out of bed. My husband and I had to start counseling because we were really rocky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, well, this is not how we're ending this. We made a vow when we got married to quit the cycle of divorce. My mom and dad had been married three times. His mom and dad had been married three times. And we chose to quit that cycle, whatever that looked like for us. Mm-hmm. If it meant counseling every single day, both of us were in agreement with it, you know, which I know is very rare on a man's part too. Yes. And some women, but I know for a lot of, you know, couples, it's like, my husband's not going. Well, he came into it going, we will go if that needs to be done because we're not doing this again. We're not doing this to our kids. And so we knew going into our marriage, this was what had to be done because we knew it was going to be tough.
And how old were your boys at this time?
When my dad passed away, they were 4 and 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they were questioning where granddad was. He was a hands-on, took him every weekend. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Took him, you know, camping and fishing and he was a granddad, like he was a dad. You know, he was just very, taught them different things and, you know, life skills and street smarts, lack of a better word.
Yes.
Yeah. So I remember that being a real time for me to really, and again, a lot of this has come full circle in the last, I would say the last 3 to 4 years has really become, you know, I go, now I know that I'm a child of God. Now I know why and where all of this stuff happened in my past. And now I know that I would not be here if it wasn't for God. I would not be the woman I am today if he hadn't carried me through everything that's gone on in my life. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So people will go, how are you walking? How are you living? And I go, there's no other option. I can't tell you anything except for that God carried me along.
Yes.
And then I had these choices and I chose to move this direction and not this direction. Mm-hmm. I had these doors all the time and I chose to go this way and not this way, you know? So because it all comes down to that. And it's like, well, you could live in this, you know, mentality of living on the street and be, whoa, ho is me. And I'm like, yeah, you can. And I wouldn't blame anybody that did. Mm-hmm. Because when I talk about the story and when I hear other people's story, I'm like, wow, yeah, that's tough. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But you also have a choice which way you want to go.
You do. And God gives us that free will. And sometimes we like to use a free will, not necessarily for the betterment of our self. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So your father, before he passed away though, in the car accident, you found your mother, correct?
I did. Yep. So we had hired, after I had my second child, I kind of went into this postpartum bit of depression and didn't really know what it was at the time because people didn't talk about it too much. And my sister and I would talk every day still about her and wonder where she was. And so I was 30. I was around 28 at the time. And I said to Kim, my sister, I said, we got to find mom. Like, we just got to find where she is. There's a piece of me that's missing. Mm-hmm. And I know with having my own two boys, if Carmen, which is my husband, everybody out there, if he ever took off with these two, I would never stop looking for them. There's not a hope that I would be like, okay, see you. So something's got to give here. Cause we were really never told the full story.
Yeah.
So my dad really never shared it with us. We never really talked about it. It was just something that was, you know, not talked about a lot. So, you know, and that again arose its own issues. So, yes. We just never really you know, we never really came to it. So her and I are like, hey, let's do this. So she actually went on the internet one day and she put, she went on to People Search USA and she put in our whole story. She's like, me and my sister, we were this age and we were taken from our mom, you know, in Ontario, blah, blah, blah. And she wrote out this whole thing. We're now living in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And Dateline NBC actually contacted us and just said, you know, we'll find your mom if you'll let us air this on Dateline. Mm-hmm. And my sister goes, she phones me up and she's, okay, so Dateline USA called us and they want to know if they can do our story online. And I said, well, do we get to work with Stone Phillips? And she's like, okay, let's put your crush aside on Stone Phillips and let's just talk about this realistically. And I'm like, okay, because that's how I deal with everything. Like everything right. that's huge deal, I make it funny first because that's my way of coping.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's my way of coping. And then I go, okay, do we want to actually meet on camera? And we both said, no, we cannot do this on camera. Like this is mm-hmm. too private, too big. And we didn't want everybody else's life thrown into the bus, you know, into mm-hmm. this mix of TV. So we said, thank you so much, but you know, we don't want to do this on Dateline. So, hiring a private investigator was very expensive. And we had some, her mother-in-law actually stepped up and just said, you know what, this is really important for you to find this puzzle that's missing and this piece of this puzzle that's missing in your life. And I think it's really important that you find your mom. So we hired a private investigator on a Thursday night. She found her in Houston the Friday night. We get this phone call from the private eye and she's like, we found your mom. She's down in Houston and, you know, waterworks. And so we got a hold of her and, we phoned her and it was one of those moments that, yes, you do see on TV and it's years and years of, you know, I've been praying for you girls every day. I didn't know what happened. I've got presents. I've got your little toys from when you were little. And she'd kept all that. And so she actually flew up 2 days later to Canada from Houston and she got a car at the airport here and drove to my sister's house. And I just remember her opening the door and it was this rush of the unknown, first of all, of going, should I hug her? Should I not hug her? It was a stranger, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a stranger standing there, which as a mom, I can't even imagine what that would feel like, you know, seeing your daughter standing there. And so I'm going to try and get through this without crying.
You're doing great.
I just remember hugging her and then she looks back at me and I'm looking in the mirror, first of all. So that was a beautiful, beautiful thing to just go, there's where my looks came from.
Yeah.
Because my sister always looked like my dad, tall, you know, blonde hair, long legs, you know, model. And I'm this athletic, cute little thing, you know, with great legs that, you know, strong legs and all this stuff. And I'm like, where did I come from?
Mom.
So when my mom opened the door, I was like, oh, there it is. So I do remember that feeling.
Yeah.
And then it was a bunch of questions of like, why did you leave us? Because that's what we were told. And everything did come together. And it wasn't easy. It was a couple, many, many conversations and many flights back and forth of getting to know one another. And then she actually moved up here to be with us closer. Yeah, she had a husband that she was married to down there and they ended up getting divorced and because it was an ongoing thing. And so she ended up moving up here just by herself and moved up closer to me and my sister. And her and my dad actually started to kind of rekindle, I guess you should say. They got to start to get to know each other again after this many years. And they started to see each other again. And so I loved seeing my dad happy. I loved seeing him happy. I loved seeing her happy, as weird as it was for being 30 years old and seeing your parents that you never really remember being together, you know, together. And it was just they were getting to know each other again is all it was. They were getting to know, and the forgiveness was there on both of their parts, and especially her part. And she had, and when we had got to see her, she said she forgave him. And 2 months later is when her phone rang. So it took her 22 years to forgive him for taking us.
Wow.
And she said, when she finally was able to go, God, I forgive Wayne for taking the girls, her phone rang and said, here they are. They're up in Canada. You can now see them again. And so it was a very, you know, she just says forgiveness plays a huge part in her life. And I also see myself where I get that from and, you know, in part of her and just going, okay, I see where forgiveness comes from, you know? And so, And then he passed away 6 months later. He got in the car accident 6 months later after they started. So there's been a lot of, you know, and that was hard for her. That was very hard for all of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, and hard for my stepmom. And he was a rock. He was definitely one of the guys he was a man that tied our whole family together. Mm-hmm. If dad said there was a barbecue, we're all going out for the barbecue, you know, and it was just one of those. So he was a part that, you know, God removed. And that took a few years for me to come to terms with why that happened, mm-hmm. you know, and still don't know, but I know that it was needed to happen at the time. So, mm-hmm.
So do you still have an ongoing relationship with your mom?
I do. Yeah, she mm-hmm. does. She lives. And again, it's never going to be this mother daughter yeah. grew up together. It's very different. And I find that I've come to terms with that too, because for the longest time we wanted this mother daughter relationship, and it, you know, we've done holidays together, we've done vacations together, we've gone shopping together, and she didn't have us. So it's hard for her to hear the stories sometimes of us growing up, and she mm-hmm. missed out on that. And so, but we do. Yeah, I just was texting with her yesterday. She's down in Phoenix. She's a snowbird now. Oh. So she gets out of the cold weather and heads down to Phoenix. And so, yep, it's a great thing. And a lot of our friends have become our family in our life, mine and my husband's. So that's been a wonderful thing too for us. So.
What a beautiful story. I mean, a story filled of hope and love and forgiveness. And even as dysfunctional as it may sound to maybe those who are listening, it was your normal, and it was mm-hmm. your life. And, you know, it's not one that you have run from any longer. You have truly learned to embrace it.
Well, and that's what I want to make sure that, you know, people listening, and this is what I tell a lot of people, is that you're past can either imprison you and keep you, you know, in a ball on the ground, crying every single day, not knowing, or it can empower you. And everybody has a story. Everybody has some sort of past, whether, you know, mine just happens to be a little different than the average monkey. I get that, you know, but everyone has something. Everyone has something, whether you want to paint this picture of this picket, you know, white picket fence and, you know, your mom and dad never did anything wrong. It's like somebody, it's in there, you know, everyone has something that you can learn from and grow from. And that's what you take and you move forward. And our feet are pointed forward for a reason. And that means keep moving yes. forward, you know? Yes. So that is my true passion now, is just going, oh my gosh, this is why it all happened to me, so that I can help other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are doing that so well. And your heart just, I mean, it shines. Krista, you're a gem, truly a gem. Mm. And it's an honor to know you and call you friend and sister in Christ. And, you know, to come on here and kind of bare your soul. I mean, you told us a very private part of your life. Mm-hmm. I know there are women out there that are struggling and mm-hmm. they're saying, my story may not be like yours, but I'm hurting and I just don't know where to begin. Mm-hmm. What would you tell that woman?
First of all, reach out for help. Mm-hmm. I would. If you're sitting there and you don't know where to turn and you don't even know how to start praying, or you don't even know if there's a God or how to, and even if you do, I knew there was a God and I still was stuck. Mm-hmm. So it was 4 or 5 years ago. I reached out for help, and it was a coach that I reached out to. And I just said, I have got a lot of stuff going on in here and I don't know how to get it out. And it was basically just somebody to listen to me mm-hmm. and tell me I wasn't crazy and tell me I wasn't, you know, a wingnut. And this is yeah. very normal. And this is okay. And give you permission to just be who you are. Mm. And a lot of women, like you said, they're just like, well, I should be this. And I have these 15 hats that I wear. Yes. And you know what? Drop those hats and just be you. And reach out for help. I do it. I know you do it. You know, if people are listening, we coach women on transforming to be the best people they can be and who God created them to be. Mm-hmm. So me personally, I was a reach out for help because I'm a verbal processor. Mm-hmm. Some people write, and I did journal my whole life. I've journaled, and that's where a lot of my, you know, I'm in the process of writing a book, and a lot of those stories come from those journals because, oh my gosh, those are some good stories in there.
Film worthy, I might add.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So definitely don't sit there thinking you're alone mm-hmm. because you're not. you are not. And you know what? You're right. Your story might not sound like mine, but that's okay. Your stories is somebody's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, as we are getting close to coming to a close, I want to ask you a specific question. What has your story gifted you?
I would say the biggest thing it has gifted me is grace and understanding for other people. I was a very judgmental person for many, many years and thought that people should be acting a certain way or this a certain way. And the grace that I have come to give to others and to myself is nothing short of a miracle.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's something.
I'm an emotional person. I don't know if you could see that or not.
Oh, no, no, no. You're just letting your heart, you know, shine on the outside. And
yep.
I think a lot of us women, especially us as moms, we walk around and we try to hide that. We try to wear, you know, as I call it, we have a masquerade ball and everything looks great on the outside, but on the inside, we are falling apart. You know, and I don't, that's nothing. I think emotions are something that God gave us. It is a gift. And you have taken all of your crazy film worthy awesomeness stories that some people are like, I wish I had her life, but maybe not, but it would be really cool. I mean, come on. If you're an adventurous person and you didn't get to live that adventurous, you know, as a child, I mean, it would be kind of cool to, you know, just kind of go into different campgrounds and end up where you didn't know you were going to end up, you know?
No.
But you just, you have allowed us the window into your life. And for that, I am very grateful for.
Well, thank you so much. When you had said it's called Share Your Story, I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is beautiful. This is so great. So thank you so much for having me on here. I sure, I really appreciate it. And I hope that I've touched somebody out there and just realize you're not alone, no matter what your story is. And we all have something, you know, and just learn from that and grow from it and reach out for help if you are stuck. Don't do it alone.
And if they are saying, I want to reach out to you, Krista, where can they find you?
Yep, you can do KristaCocott.com. That's my website. Krista at KristaCocott.com is my email. You can find me on Facebook at Krista Cocott, Twitter, Krista Cocott, Instagram, Krista Cocott. So I kept it pretty simple.
Simple. I like the pretty simple. We're all about the kisses here, you know, the keep it simple strategy. So we'll go with that. Of course, all the links are in the show notes. So if you are driving, working out, maybe you're even cooking dinner right now, please do not stop what you're doing. You can just go to the show notes and get all of those links. Krista, anything that you would like to end with before we close?
No, you know, I'm so excited to just be on this podcast. And again, like I said, this is a journey that I'm going to be starting is podcasting. And I just, I'm so inspired by you and I'm inspired every time I do tell my story that don't hide it. Whatever you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're going, well, I've got something I could say, say it.
Yeah.
Say it and reach out to Christiane, reach out to me and just share your story with us and, you know, and get it out there because you never know who you will inspire with your story.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Amen. What a blessing. And you have an amazing strength, you know, like I said at the very beginning, beautiful from the inside out and the outside in. You have touched my heart tremendously, and I look forward as you continue your journey. And you already mentioned your book, so I'm just going to put it out there on the airways right now. When you're ready, can I just automatically invite you back to come back and chat with us again?
You bet. I'll be all over it.
We got to love our girl time, right? And even I know guys you're listening in too, and we love you too, but you know, us girls, we got to stick together.
Yes, we do.
We do. Well, thank you so much for sharing your strength in your story with us, Krista. May you have a happy new year and Merry Christmas, of course, even though we've just passed the holiday. Enjoy your time and your family and many blessings. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, everyone.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.